This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All your ears are belong to us.
Error Code 8 is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/8DAG. On this episode of Error Code 8, we're going to cover the Apple event. Technically, it's a recap, but hey, stay tuned and you'll find out exactly why I'm disappointed. Hello all, and welcome back to another episode of Error Code 8. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me again, because he's so much fun to have around, Zach Laidlaw.
How are you guys doing tonight?
And you still don't have a nickname, though.
No. The more times I show up, I'll procure one eventually.
I think we'll just start calling you Johnny Appleseed.
I don't know. How does that fit?
Well, because you you tried Android and you decided to go with Apple.
I take my job very seriously. I need to stick with what I do.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
Anyway, we're going to cover basically a recap of the Apple event, what we thought, what we were right on, what we were wrong on. And now that we're getting more information, what was wrong with the whole thing? I have quite a few gripes. We'll get into them, I'm sure. So, first thing, what it does have. That, you know, that's, we'll go with that because that's, you know, that's happy news.
Yeah.
What the iPhone did get. Yay!
We can concentrate on the good stuff, right?
Exactly.
That's some good stuff.
So, pretty much all of the leaks that we had come out were actual leaks. I mean, pretty close. The headphone jack is still on the top of the phone.
True.
Yeah.
So they pulled it on us. They got us.
Or no, wait a minute. Nope. Headphone jack is on the bottom.
It's on the bottom.
Yeah.
It's a lie. We're just making sure you guys are listening.
Well,
the thing is
that when I was watching. I was actually watching a streaming video from the conference because, you know, no one's supposed to be streaming from it. And I caught a stream from the conference, and the video they were watching on the big screen made it look like the headphone jack was on the top.
But sadly...
Negative. It is on the bottom.
So it is true.
That's just... Well, we'll... That's another thing to add to my list of gripes. So the pricing is, of course, pretty much the same. It's 200, 300, 400, 16, 32, and 64 gigs. It's Apple's pricing plan. We did get a larger screen. It's up from 3.5 inch. It is now 4 inches. So
yay!
Just enough to fit one more row of icons. Yippee!
Just in case you were hard-pressed for space and you needed one more row,
yeah,
we got you covered.
You know. So it is going to come out on all the basic carriers for the U.S., you know, so AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint. It'll have GSM, obviously CDMA radios, has LTE on all networks. So that's
for now.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
We will.
That's nice. I have a gripe about the LTE as well, so we'll talk about LTE in length. It has ABG and N wireless, both on the 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz bands. Has Bluetooth 4.0, your basic GPS, compass, Wi-Fi, blah, 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 blah. Retina display, it's upgraded a little bit, obviously, because it's larger. It's 1136 by 64 pixels, and it's 326 pixels per inch. That's pretty good. That's a pretty screen.
Yeah.
Has a 8-megapixel EyeSight camera with panorama ability. I'm assuming that's actually probably iOS 6 is doing that.
Right. I believe you would be correct.
That probably won't be just the iPhone 5. So, of course, it does video recording in full 1080p. The FaceTime camera on the front is 1.2 megapixels and can shoot up to 720p video at 30 frames per second. Both have autofocus, you know, the back has an LED flash, nothing new there. They have said that because of the lens system in the camera, it does take better pictures. I forget exactly what the quote was, but one correspondent that was at the event actually said that the cameras out of the new iPhone make the world look bluer, happier, more peaceful. So maybe, who knows?
Actually, strangely, I've heard the same thing about the screen as well. They have, how'd they put it? They did something about amplifying the saturation to make it look more vivid, crisper, things like that. So in typical Apple fashion, they're trying to sell you something that's pretty, which is good.
Yeah, well. Talk time on 3G is up to 8 hours. Standby 225. So it's on par with all of Apple's devices.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's a Freudian slip there. Because my phone actually gets more than that. the new dock adapter, of course, we do have it. It's smaller. It's called Lightning. Get it? Thunder. Lightning. Oh, my God.
They knew.
Anyway, you know, you get a microphone, and I think it has three speakers on it. It has, or microphones. Has one microphone on the bottom for voice, one on the top for noise cancellation, and it also has, I believe, one on the front next to the EyeSight camera to do FaceTime. So it's dependent on which camera you're using. You know, the back camera or the front camera. It'll switch between those. Of course, this is something you were interested in, the EarPods.
That's right.
It's the worst name ever.
You know, should have seen it coming. Should have seen it coming. You know, it's been this long.
Originally, I thought iPad was a bad name. This is so much worse.
Well, and have you seen the things? I mean,
EarPods. Really? It sounds like something off of a freaking horror movie. Like, oh yeah, he died. Oh yeah, what'd he die of? Well, EarPods burrowed into his brain.
I mean, seriously, look at those things. I mean,
they are creepy looking.
They are. People are wondering if they are for a human ear. And
I'm actually looking at the spec sheet. It kind of looks like a face. It does. It looks like it's going to burrow into my eardrums and eat my brain.
You know what? That's the last step. They can burrow in.
Exactly. with the new, I think it's nine pin adapter. Two things. One thing is really cool. The fact that the 9-pin adapter, the Lightning, can be plugged in either direction. So there's no putting it in one way and realizing, oh, crap, it's upside down. Flip it around, put it in. Oh, crap, I just was stupid. Flip it around, put it back in. You can put it in either direction. So it will always, you know, that is a good idea. I do like that.
Honestly, you know, I can't tell you how many times I plug my phone in at night whenever I can't see anything. And that actually is, that would eliminate a lot of hassle for sure.
Yeah. Now, if you want to use the some of your 30-pin accessories with the Lightning, you might be asking how you're going to do that. Well, Apple, of course, in their infinite wisdom, has given us the chance to buy an adapter. Yes, a dongle. Just another thing to add to your bag. It's actually a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. And that's what she said. And it's it's kind of unruly. I mean, it's white. Not to mention, it's also $30.
Mm-hmm.
It's $30.
I mean, you know, they've only been using the 30 pin for, you know, since dinosaurs were around, at least. So it's a great time to switch.
Oh God! All in the making it smaller. So the actual phone itself is aluminum on the back, I believe, except for a couple little glass pieces here and there. And yeah, you know, the front obviously is completely glass. So at least they got rid of the glass back.
True.
You know, that's better than nothing. Okay.
I like the way the glass back looks, but I've seen so many broken ones that it's not really necessary.
Okay. Let's go into first what we like about it.
Ooh. well, for sure, we know that it has an updated A6 chip, which they claim is 2 times faster than my A5 and my iPhone 4S. Again, my iPhone 4S is already pretty quick. I don't, obviously, I mean, no one's used the 5 yet, but I can't imagine it running too much more smoothly than it already does, but that remains to be seen. Maybe it's life-changing. Other things, I mean, I think that the larger screen was something that has needed to happen. I like the way that the small screen fits in the hand, but during the presentation, it looked like the 4-inch screen was still a decent size, and it wasn't too bulky for iPhone standards. I also do like, I know the front glass piece, Apple's been working with, I can't remember exactly the name of the companies, but there used to be two layers. Of course, the protective layer of glass and then the touch-sensitive layer underneath that. They have now combined those together to make just one single layer of glass, which allows the iPhone to be thinner. So that's kind of a cool new innovation. Except if you break your glass on this one, I don't know how that would affect.
Gonna be expensive.
The usability. I mean, usually, you know, whenever you crack your iPhone, you can usually still use it. I don't know how it would affect usability. But they also claim that the glass is supposed to be even stronger than past models, so maybe it'll never break.
The way that the iPhone, or at least up until the iPhone 5, the way the screens work is there's an LCD layer, and then there's a digitizer layer. That's actually, it's two separate pieces of glass glued together, basically, using semi-permanent glue. You can get them apart. And what happens is the digitizer layer plugs into the main board, and that's the touch screen. Then that means that when you drop the phone and break it, you were able to buy the digitizer alone, which is like $50 to $100, and you could pull the digitizer off of your phone, put the new one on, and you'd be fine. The LCD would still work. With this one being one solid piece, it's quite possible that you drop this sucker and you're not going to be able to use your phone until you get it replaced. Not only that's that, right, but the LCD is the expensive part of those two screens.
Yeah, and you have to buy both screens instead of just one. Exactly. I mean, you have to buy the technology that goes into both screens. So, I mean, that's...
So it's going to be more expensive to get it replaced.
Don't drop your iPhones, people.
Yeah.
Or hope it falls on that aluminum back, right?
Well.
We'll get into that, too.
Yeah. So anything else that you were really excited about with this?
Other than the things mentioned, it's basically my 4S. So I have nothing else.
Okay. Gotta take a deep breath.
Get ready.
Yeah, I got a lot of them.
That's okay. Right.
Number one, I've already said that I wasn't too excited about the lightning adapter. Okay, the smaller adapter by itself doesn't bother me. It's the fact that they went from a proprietary standardization, for how many ever years it's been on the iPhone, and then decide to change it now.
I know, but
that
you know what?
Is insane. I mean,
same thing. We saw the same thing with the Mac update, and as we all know, first comes thunder.
Insane there too.
First is thunder, then comes lightning. So we should have known this was going to happen before the rumor started leaking.
So that bothers me. I think they probably could have done the same thing they're doing with the lightning connector with a micro USB. And been like every other phone on the market. But heaven forbid, Apple be like everyone else. They've got to be creative. That's the only word you can use for it that's, you know, a good word. It's not smart. So the 4-inch screen, kudos on that. You know, that's good. I like that. I think it probably could have been bigger, but oh well.
It's a step up for Apple.
It is. I give them kudos for at least, you know, having made it larger. I like the aluminum back. However, I was extremely disappointed in the fact that they did not put NFC inside the phone.
Yes, sir. That is very true.
With Passbook coming along, that would have been invaluable. You know,
absolutely.
Because as soon as NFC is on this phone, Google can create a Google Wallet app for the iPhone. And then, you know, for instance, anywhere that has those touch terminals, I pay with my phone. Because Google Wallet now allows you to add any debit card or credit card you want. So I never have to fish in my wallet and get my multiple credit cards or debit cards out. I flick to the one I want, select it, hold my phone up to the reader, and I'm done.
That's pretty cool.
It's fantastic. My phone keeps a list of all my transactions, shows me where it was, shows me a GPS map, all kinds of good stuff. It's great. It's the most useful thing on my phone. And Apple didn't add it in.
No. And, well, first of all, Apple wouldn't want to add anything that Google could possibly use to make something good on their phone.
Heaven forbid.
second, how many terminals that support NFC do you come across? Is it becoming a more relevant thing?
It is. It very much so is. As a matter of fact, just to show you how relevant it's becoming, I take my dog to get groomed at a little mom and pop groom place. You know, they're a hole in the wall, very small, but they do a very good job. So I take them. I take my dog Wi-Fi there, and when she gets her haircuts, they have a little payment terminal for, you know, credit cards and stuff. On the top of the credit card reader is an NFC payment terminal. You know, it's used in all kinds of Chase credit cards and everything like that. So, you know, so many credit cards use it now that they've started adding these on the top of payment terminals that people rent from companies for just little mom-and-pop businesses. And if those companies start getting them, you know everyone else will. Home Depot, Lowe's, McDonald's, this place. You know, it's only a matter of time before you are able to do this pretty much anywhere.
Absolutely.
And one thing I would love to see is a startup company that puts these terminals, just really simplified versions of these terminals, with like $1 as the fixed charge. And when you go to Starbucks or you go to, you know, Breadco or anything like this, Panera, you hold your phone up to that terminal and that's what you tip the waitress with.
Very cool.
Because it's so hard to tip the barista. Because you pay with debit, and it's like, well, you know, they don't have a place to tip them. And I like tipping people. I just don't carry cash.
Exactly.
So if they had that there, man, tap my phone. Boom, there's a buck. You know, tap it twice. Boom, $2. You know, it would be fantastic. But can't do that with an iPhone 5. No NFC chip at all. Wah, wah.
You know, and it's funny, again, in classic Apple fashion, they want to make things and have everyone follow them and conform to them. Apple seldomly conforms to others. So Apple claims that their Passbook app is going to be more relevant than NFC. I don't see it happening. But you know what? So there are so many Apple users. They actually may win. Maybe retailers will start to conform to Apple just because Apple said so. But NFC sounds like it's a great new age idea, and we should embrace those kind of things.
Yeah, and see, the problem is, I've had someone tell me that already, that the retailers will go the way of Apple and Google will be left in the dark. The problem is that Google didn't create NFC. Google adopted NFC from the credit card companies who have been using NFC for years.
Sure.
So Google didn't jump, you know, didn't create its own payment system out of nothing. Google just hopped on the one that was already existing. Apple is the one who's trying to create their own. They're the ones with the uphill battle.
Exactly. And that's because, I mean, Apple refuses to jump onto anything. They feel if they don't start it, then it's not going to work.
And that will cost them quite a bit, I can only imagine.
Sure. And, I mean, I can't imagine Passbook being a higher technology than NFC, it seems like it's a step backwards to me. But I don't know.
Very true. Okay, something else that bothers me. Really, this is going to be the best way to describe what bothers me. But first, I do want to say, very specifically, Sprint has a new feature that they're trying to roll out alongside their LTE network. It's basically voice over LTE. It's VoLTE. And what it is instead of using the 3G service or the CDMA service to carry your voice data, if you're in an LTE area and your signal is strong enough, the phone will actually send your voice over the LTE network, which means that you have high-definition audio. So your call quality will be amazing. The iPhone will not be able to do this.
I have heard that rumor, actually.
Yes, they will not be able to do this. They've also said that because of the chipsets that are in the iPhones, the Sprint versions will more than likely not be able to do simultaneous data and voice. And believe it or not, a lot of people, including myself up until very recently, thought that Sprint's network had absolutely no ability to do voice and data at the same time. That is actually not true. It's the phone that has to have the ability. The Qualcomm chipsets that are going into most phones nowadays, most Android phones anyway, they have separate modems for the LTE and for the 3G. So on LTE, you can do both voice and data. Well, the thing is that LTE chipset can downgrade itself, and you can do voice and data on a 3G network, since you have the two separate modems.
Right.
So, you know, the iPhone 5 will not, they're saying that it will not be able to do this.
And to just add on to what you said, I also saw somewhere in a brief memo that Verizon is experiencing the same difficulty as well, that they're working with that ability to do voice and data, and they will also be shut down. Of course, I mean, if Sprint can't do it, then no other network would be able to do it. But that's just another way that iPhone's kind of cutting down the carriers on their abilities.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's where it really gets interesting. A friend of mine is a huge iPhone fan, number one. And no, it's not you.
I was like, you're going somewhere there. Like, I'm right here, buddy.
It's someone else. And not only that, but he loves to argue, and he loves to irrationally argue. Like, he'll say the iPhone 5 is better, or the iPhone 5 will be better than every other phone just because it's cooler. You know, and you can't argue with that, because it's like, well, that's a perspective, you know.
True, so very true.
I can throw tech stats at him all day long, and he just won't even pay attention. So, the thing that gets me, though, is when I compare the yet-to-be-released iPhone 5 to my already-been-released Galaxy S3, American version, by the way, which is not as powerful as the international version. So I'm even giving the iPhone 5 a handicap.
Very true.
It still is not beating me. Because not only is the screen on the Galaxy S3 larger by 0.8 inches, that's almost a full inch, its resolution is higher, its pixels per inch is off by 20. There are 20 less pixels per inch on the Galaxy S3, just so you know. The screen on the S3 is actually 720, so it's 1280 by 720 instead of the iPhone's 1136 by 640. So my screen's actually an HD screen, literally.
Yeah, and that's compared to a Retina.
Exactly. Mine can do both voice and data on Sprint. So there you go. I think it can do it on Verizon, too, I'm pretty sure. And obviously it'll do it on AT&T. My phone has the exact same wireless ability, 2.4 and 5 gigahertz ability across all the different wireless standards. They both have Bluetooth 4.0. Mine has NFC, and while the Apple device can only share its media via AirPlay for an Apple TV or a Mac, mine can use AllShare, which is a DLNA standardized media server, to where your Xbox, your PlayStation 3, your computer, you know, your media center, all these things can share data, can share the media that's on my device. You know, the clock speed. The A6, we haven't been told how fast it was. I know that the A4 and the A5 were rumored to be 1 gigahertz. Mine's 1.5 gigahertz dual core, Snapdragon S4. I outrank you, son. What can I say?
I mean, it's true. Whenever you look at the specs like that, you can kind of see why Apple sued them, because, I mean, that's a scary phone.
It is.
Whenever it outdoes their newest product that hasn't been released to the market yet.
Oh, yeah.
That's dangerous.
Really, truly does. You know, I mean, sensors, they're all about the same up until you get to the fact that my phone has a freaking barometer. My phone can detect weather changes and changes in altitude, for God's sake.
That's impressive.
Quoted use time for 3G on an iPhone 5, 8 hours. Quoted use time for the Galaxy S3, 9.2 hours. And my screen's almost an inch bigger.
That's right. And you actually, you said from usage, you probably clock more than that.
Yeah, I usually get about 12. But I don't make a lot of phone calls. It's all data.
Sure. I mean, I can honestly say just today, I've gone through 3 charges on my iPhone today. Now, it has been used extremely heavy, and I do have about 9 months on the battery since I've had it. So, I mean, you know, that's charging every single day, vigorous use every day. So it's probably – it doesn't hold the charge like it used to, but still, it's never been as good as the charge on your S3.
That's true. That's very true.
And that's also why I carry an extra battery pack with me, just in case.
Yeah, that extra battery pack's probably a lot bigger than an extra battery for my phone. Be nice if you could take the back off yours, wouldn't it?
Actually, I had to find a special case, but I found one, actually. And I can plug the brand of this case. And I don't know, should I, Jesse?
Yeah, go ahead, do it.
All right, so I actually I picked up a, let's see, it is a hybrid boost case. They make them for the 4S. And basically, they come with just a normal outer shell that you would find on any smaller or any lightweight iPhone 4 case. So it just has a very small outer shell, and then it has a separate battery pack that actually fits onto that outer shell and clips into the phone. So you just plug it in wherever you need the battery, charges it up, and whenever you're done with it, you can take the battery back off of it.
Okay,
and
hold on. So are you telling me that they make a case so that the iPhone 4 can have a removable battery?
Yes.
That is awesome.
I'll send you a picture one day.
That is fantastic. That the fact that Apple leaves something out and people put it right back in.
That's right. See, the public will always fix their mistakes as best as they can.
Wow. They probably shouldn't have to, but it's good that they do.
It's true.
After that shameless plug, I do have another shameless plug I would like to put forth, and that is for our sponsor, Audible. You can go to Audible is a great place to get audiobooks. They have, you know, hundreds of thousands of titles. You can get anything that you're looking for, fiction, nonfiction, autobiography, good stories, whatever you want. Most of the bestsellers are on there, too. Matter of fact, our Audible selection for this week will be a bestseller. If you'd like to try Audible on us for free for 30 days, you go to www.audibletrial.com/8DAG, and that will let you actually try the service free, completely free, for 30 days. And it will give you a credit that you can use to buy pretty much any audiobook in the store. Now, there are books that are over 2 credits, but I can honestly say after searching and searching and searching, I only found a handful. And they were books like the Game of Thrones series, because those are really relevant and really long. So, you know, this book that we have on today's suggestion is very, very relevant. It's actually also very long. It's 25 hours long. And that is the unabridged version of Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson. The book's been out for a little while, so if you haven't had a chance to read it, you know, after seeing the iPhone 5, this is a great time to go back and see all of the stuff that Steve Jobs went through and what made him the man that he was. It's a great, great audiobook. I've listened to this one. Just absolutely amazing. Also, Audible and Amazon have actually released a new feature on Audible, and this blows me away. This makes me want a Kindle. If you have a Kindle and you buy Steve Jobs from the Kindle store and you're reading it on your Kindle, and you buy Steve Jobs the audiobook, which is 1 credit, so you can get it for free, hey, then when you're reading either one of them, it will synchronize where you are in both sections, just on the audio and on the text. That way, when you pick up your Kindle, you'll be exactly where you left off in the audio version. And when you pick up the audio version, you'll be exactly where you left off in the Kindle. That's amazing.
That is pretty cool. Now, I assume that would work with the Kindle apps for Android and Apple. Is that correct?
You know, I am not 100% positive. Let's see here. Yep, it sure will, actually. It will work with any e-ink reader, Kindle tablet, or the Kindle reading app. So all right, even if you have an iPad.
You have no excuse not to get it then.
You know what? Best thing in the world. Check this out. You put the Kindle app on your iPad. You put the Audible app on your iPad. You've got your text and your audio all in one place, and you will always know exactly where you are on both of them. No searching for pages.
And like you, who is across platforms, you can put it on your iPad and your Android and still be in sync with each other.
Exactly.
Android and Apple getting along. Isn't that great?
And Windows Phone, because there's an Audible app for Windows Phone, too.
Very true. Very true. Not to leave Windows out.
Yeah. So if you'd like to try Audible.com for 30 days free, you go to www.audibletrial.com/8DAG, and you'll get 30 free days, one free credit to use as you please. And if you cancel after the 30 days is done, I don't think you will, but if you do, it's pretty easy to cancel. They don't make it any fuss. They don't try to upsell you or anything. But if you do, you get to keep the book for free, 100%, till the end of time, which some people is going to say it's only a couple months from now. But hey, doesn't really matter. You get a free book for a couple months at least, right?
That's right, and you enjoy every word.
Oh, yeah. So check it out. It's great stuff. Audible is a fantastic site. I love them. Everyone who's ever signed up that I've known has absolutely loved them to death. So check it out. It's audibletrial.com/8DAG. Okay, so let's see here. I didn't bring up our predictions.
Well, I mean, our predictions were based off of the leaks.
Yeah, we predicted pretty much everything. Now, the one thing that I have yet to see is if they're going to put sound in a dock. I want to see the new dock devices for the Lightning connector to see if the headphone jack plugs into them.
Right.
I think that was the one thing that I said would be weird. Also, I said they probably wouldn't put in NFC because of the aluminum back. I was right on that one. Douchebags.
It's very true. I know. I did see a tweet pretty close after the unveiling, actually. Saying that audio companies such as Bose, and they did mention a few others, are already working on speaker systems and setups. So they have an idea, and they're definitely already on the ball. So I'm sure it won't be too long before we actually see what they come up with.
Good stuff. Also, one little clip that I'd like to put in here, the fact that AT&T has specifically said that when iOS 6 comes out, FaceTime over cellular data will not be allowed on any plan except for its mobile share plan, which those of you who know, the mobile share plans are for families only. They don't make sense for individuals.
No.
They're way too expensive for an individual. Now, Verizon has come out and said they will allow FaceTime over all of their plans, but your data allowance still applies 100%.
Sure, and there's no reason it shouldn't.
Reasons that it shouldn't, but nah. I'm a Sprint guy. Everything is unlimited on Sprint.
That's right. Well, I mean, being unlimited, and I know a lot of people have brought this exact point up, and I'm sure you viewers who are listening to this have probably already thought the same thing. If you're paying for your data, you should be able to use it however you see fit.
Oh, yeah.
Fact that any carrier could restrict how you use your data is absolutely absurd. If you go over your cap, whether it's restricted or not by what you used it on, you're still going to pay them the money, and they're still going to get their overage charges. So I don't understand how they could do something like that, such as AT&T throttling their customers who still have the old unlimited plans. They still do that even today. People who use LTE, once they reach a certain mark, then AT&T starts to, slow their network down and bog it down so that it's not as desirable. Therefore, they don't use as much, which is just crazy.
Very much so. It's I could go on for hours about AT&T. And how much I hate them.
I love them.
I can't stand them. Anyway,
love AT&T in my iPhone.
So, in closing, iPhone 5, more of the same. Some things we liked, some things we didn't. It's Apple. What are you going to do? You know?
That's right.
Some other things did come out in the keynote. Everyone's talking about the iPhone 5, but Apple did make some pretty substantial changes to some of their other devices. The iPod Nano actually got a pretty big makeover. I was very surprised at how big of a makeover it got, in all honesty. It's pretty bad when the iPod Nano surprised me more than the iPhone 5.
Really, that's true.
So it's got a much larger screen now. Instead of being the little postage stamp size thing that it was, the Nano will now have a 2.5-inch, diagonally measured, of course, multi-touch display. It will be 240 by 432. That's a really weird ratio, but nah. It can now do video. That's very cool. I mean, I don't know how useful that's going to be on a Nano, and I don't completely know if that would have been Steve Jobs' idea. I really don't think it would have been, because he didn't think anyone would watch movies on the iPod Classic. So why would they watch them on a Nano? The screen's not that much bigger.
Exactly.
And now has a home button instead of holding the screen, so that's nice. It's using the Lightning connector, headphone jacks on the bottom. Has very basic controls, but you know, they should do pretty much everything you want. It has, of course, an accelerometer and an FM radio built into it. Other than that, comes with the EarPods.
Of course. The little ear pod alien. It'll be there.
It looks like a alien's ob depositor. Like it's gonna they're going to go down your throat and legs and your chest.
It's
horrible. Music playback time up to 30 hours when fully charged. Video playback will be 3.5 hours. Fast charge time. It says it'll charge to 80%. In about 1.5 hours. I don't know if I'd call that fast, but...
Not quite. But.
I guess if 80% gives you, you know, somewhere in the area of 20 hours worth of usage, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you consider the ratio.
Yeah. Okay, so iPod Nano did get quite a refresh. Lots of colors on that one, too, by the way. The iPod Nano has always had colors, though.
Well, and that's the funny thing about the Nano is, out of all of their devices, I think that's one of the iDevices that has gone through the most change. I mean, if you look through the entire Nano line, it's been tall, it's been short, it's been fat, it's been skinny, it's been all these things, and it, you know, I mean, we just don't see that kind of change in their other devices. So I wonder what sparks the Nano to be so. So, you know, incomparable.
I don't know. One of the other devices that did get an update, and this one got a pretty substantial update as well. However, I kind of saw this one coming. I just didn't think it was going to happen Wednesday. I thought they were going to announce this a little later. That was the iPod Touch. Of course, the iPod Touch has always been basically the iPhone without the phone. I mean, almost exactly, except for, of course, the camera. The new iPod Touch is pretty much no exception. It's pretty much the phone without the phone. You know, it's got a 4-inch screen now. It's the same base. I mean, it's the same technology, same pixel resolution. It's basically the exact same screen. Everything is exactly the same there. Same radios in it, so it's ABG and N Wi-Fi on 2.4 and 5 gigahertz bands. Bluetooth 4.0. Oh, hey, by the way, forgot to mention iPod Nano. Has Bluetooth now.
Wow.
Exactly. So a lot of cars have Bluetooth radios. I have a set of Bluetooth headphones. The iPod Nano will be able to connect to those now, just like the iPod Touch has always been able to.
Stepping up in the world.
Exactly. So the iPod Touch, of course, comes in... They actually changed the capacities. It's now 32 and 64 gigabytes, when I believe it used to be 16 and 32.
Right.
So now it's 32 and 64. You know, it's got Nike Plus built into it. That's a little sensor that you can run with, and it counts. It's basically a pedometer. They've always kind of had that, but I think they're trying to push it more because they actually specifically spoke about the iPod Nano being a pedometer by itself. So they're trying to push their fitness apps, too.
Sure.
The camera has gotten a huge upgrade. The original iPod camera was somewhere in the area of just like, it was horrible. It was less than a megapixel, basically. It could take good video, but it could not take good still photos for anything. The new EyeSight camera that's going to be on the back of the new iPod is a 5-megapixel. It'll have autofocus, have tap to focus on the screen. It's a backside illuminated camera, just like on all of the new iDevices, the 4S, the 4, the 5, and the iPad 3. It has basically the same IR filter as the new iPhone 5 will have. 5-element lens. For all you photographers out there, it's a 2.4 aperture, which means it should have pretty good low light performance as well. It will do, you know, HD video, 1080p, of course, at 30 frames per second. The front camera is the same one on the iPhone 5, a 720p, 1.2-megapixel camera. Has video stabilization, you know, geotagging on the pictures, all the basic stuff. This, of course, comes with the Lightning connector. So, eh. There are some interesting little doohickeys. Oh, it also has a LED flash, which is brand new to the iPod. They never had LED flashes before. So, that's kind of nice. And it comes in colors. Yay!
We like colors.
Oh, you love colors. I think there's, like, what, 7 colors or something like that?
Aren't they pretty?
Yeah. They actually are pretty.
It's like an apple rainbow.
To be completely honest, I mean, these do... The devices themselves look really good. I do have to say, I'm more excited about the iPod Touch than I am the iPhone 5. They are very pretty little devices. The I still want NFC in them, though.
It's got to happen. It has to happen. Otherwise, they're not...
They can't keep up like that.
We're not going back there again.
We can
go back there.
There is one little doohickey that kind of... I've always said Apple needed to go this direction. I just didn't think this was going to be the thing that they picked from the direction. There's something called the iPod Touch Loop. On the back of the iPod Touch, there's now a little bitty circle of metal. Down in the corner, it's basically, I think it's on the right-hand lower side on the back. Left if you're actually looking at the back. If you press this in, it will pop out and be like a little bitty button. And what you do is, there's a little wrist lanyard that comes with the iPod, and you hook it on there so that you don't drop your iPod. With me, this, when I see this, it screams, digital camera, point-and-shoot digital camera. And to me, that's kind of what this is for, is the whole, you know, to hold the iPod still, you take your picture, if you get bumped, you drop it. Oh, look, I had my lanyard, I'm safe. So, I think if they were to put the 8-megapixel camera from the iPhone into the iPod, they could market the iPod as a point-and-shoot camera.
Yeah,
as well as a media player. You know? I mean, I think they really need to go that direction.
Well, and that's the thing is, I mean, we know that Apple has been even considering suspending the iPod Touch, which is it's nice to see that they kept it around. But that could definitely be a new direction for it. I mean, that's the iPod Touch could have a whole new lifespan if they went that way.
And it will also be getting Siri, for those of you who are wondering. It will get iOS 6 with full Siri support.
Cool.
Yeah, the iPad 3 is going to be getting Siri, too. I'm actually excited about that.
That's right. I know you're excited.
I'll have to wait for him to jailbreak it, though, because mine's jailbroken and I don't want to go back. That would suck. So, really, that's the big things. You know, I mean, there were some other things. You know, iTunes got a little bit of an update. You know, some stuff like that. iTunes for instance, on iOS devices will be getting a slight update. The iOS 6.0 will be coming out on the 19th, and you'll be able to download it and try it out then. The iPhone 5 will be you can start pre-ordering them tomorrow on the 14th, and then you'll be able to, well, probably today if you're listening to this, but it'll be the 14th, and then they're going to start arriving at your door on the 21st. So be sure to get in line and start pre-ordering as soon as you can, if that's what you're into. Otherwise, you can go to your local Sprint store and pick up an S3 and have a faster phone.
Don't listen to him.
And have a little bit of freedom and self-respect while you're at it.
No, the honest truth is that the phone market, it really is ramping up. There's a lot of really great choices for every walks of life. So really, I mean, you just have to decide what you want and go for it, because the options are there. Subliminal messaging. Just do your research.
Yeah, do your research. Well, there is one last story on our little thing. We're just going to hit this really, really fast. The LTE data transfers that are going on inside the iPhone 5, there's another company who has a patent on that, you know.
Those patents are fun.
Yes. And Apple decided, oh, the Samsung is such a good phone, we need to sue Samsung in order to make sure they don't make it. Well, guess what, Apple? Maybe you should check out your patents and realize you don't have the patent for the LTE data transfer you're using in the iPhone 5. Guess who does?
Those patents are fun.
HTC. Oh, yeah. Android developer. Kick in the face.
It's true. So much for Apple doing their homework. After suing Samsung, they should have seen this coming.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
So as far as we know, I believe HTC has already proposed to a judge this discrepancy. Yes. And Samsung is expected to follow suit.
Oh, yeah, by far.
Within the next week or so.
And the judge is Thomas Pender. He said that he would have to be overwhelmed with evidence to rule that HTC's LTE patents are invalid in order to say that they're, you know, they can't sue. And I honestly, you know, I really hope this guy has an Android phone.
Well, and just the wording of that sentence sounds like he's not going to fall into Apple's, well, you know, it's Apple, and just let them do whatever they want. It sounds like he really may give HTC and Samsung a real fighting chance at this.
I think he should, because it's ridiculous that Apple patented a rectangle with rounded corners.
Absolutely. It's such a pretty rectangle, though, you know.
No, it's not.
But, you know, whenever it boils down to it, and I know we touched on this last week, and it's the same thing. The only people who are really going to hurt is the consumer. Because, I mean, Apple is trying to get rid of something great that Samsung made. Now Samsung and HTC are trying to get rid of a great technology for Apple that, you know, would be amazing if they could utilize. And now everybody, I mean, they're all restricting each other, and then we get stuck in the middle with all these patents being thrown around, and it's a mess.
Very much so. Very much so. Okay, guys, that's pretty much our episode for this this week. Zach, you want to tell them where they can find, follow, and or stalk you?
Absolutely. Always on Twitter, at ztlaidlaw.com. I don't have a handle name, so that is the best I do. Also on Facebook, you can find me, ZT Laidlaw, as well. And that is about it, because I don't do about me like Jesse does.
Why have you not set that up yet?
I told you, it's there. It's just not functional. you can find it.
I don't understand why you would leave something so fundamental like NFC out of your life there, Zach. Come on, Apple.
I'll mourn later.
John Appleseed. I'm going to start calling you Zach Appleseed. That's your name. Zach Appleseed. From now on. Congratulations. I'm glad that you earned that name.
Don't make me not come back.
Zach Appleseed. Anyway, if you'd like to learn more about me, you know, I have an About Not Me page. I'm on Twitter, too. And I have emails. I got all kinds of stuff. I'm on Twitter, at Pen of Doom. You can email me, jesse@8daisygeek.com. Or if you'd like to know everything about me in one simple place, you can go to about.me/Jesse Miller and find out everything about me. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail or send us a text message, the number is 754-273-6397. And if those ear pods were wrapped around your inner ear eating your brains, pull them out for just a second. Listen. The number is 754-273-6397. And now you can put your ear pods back in, let them feast upon your synapses, and continue on with your day. Zach, say goodbye to the nice people.
Goodbye, nice people.